Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Joel Nelson back on the show. We've had him on a bunch of times, seven, eight maybe times. Anyway, many of you have probably heard him on past shows, or you've consumed some of his other content, his articles or video content. I mean, Joel's all over the industry, but he's got an interesting career path in the fishing industry. He's a Minnesota man. And we're going to hear all about it. And he's got some major developments as far as his career more recently. And we're going to talk all about it and how he was hired over at Onyx to do some promoting of the new Onyx fishing maps. And for anybody that's familiar with like Onyx hunt maps, for anybody that does any of the hunting stuff, the private land, the public land, the access, and all the great info there. But the new fishing entity that they have coming out here with the new fish map, and it's free at the moment. If anybody lives in Minnesota, especially, you gotta go to the App Store and download the Onyx fish maps right now and start messing with it. It's not gonna be free forever. When they start adding new states and, you know, the more intermediate or to long-term future, they're going to have all 50 states in Canada, hopefully. And when that happens, I mean, it's going to be a well worth your money type of subscription. But that being said, for right now, if you're anywhere in and around Minnesota, it's free. This is like, you know, going into this ice season, man, you got to do it. And they're going to launch Wisconsin here in a couple of weeks. Honestly, a lot of people, by the time they listen to this, Wisconsin's going to be on there. So yeah, big, big deal. It's going to be a big deal in the industry. And Joel Nelson, personally, I think is going to be a big part of the success of this. And so it's really cool that they got him. And that's why I wanted to have him on. We're going to talk Onyx fish maps and Joel's career and just some really fun, informational, and inspirational stuff here. So let's get to it. We got Joel Nelson back on the JMO Podcast. Check out Shipswell Resort on Lake of the Woods in northern Minnesota for your next ice fishing destination. Their lodging options are fantastic for small groups, all the way on up to bigger groups like family get-togethers or maybe a corporate outing. Enjoy the comforts of one of their heated day-use fish houses spread between the Morris Point area and the Long Point area as well to give their guests the most options and opportunities to cover the big lake and to stay on fish. Head to their website, shipswellresort.com, to check out their photo gallery and all their ice fishing packages. That link is in the description of this podcast. Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in. The trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers from Flop Industries. The Flopbox 10 and Flopbox 20 are heavy-duty roto-molded bait coolers, fully insulated, which comes into play both summer and winter. The aeration system for minnows and other live bait is fully enclosed and lithium-powered for reliability and durability. The stainless hardware, the removable chill plate, the list goes on of features, but these high-end bait coolers can easily enhance your fishing experience when you consider their ability to keep your bait alive, fresh, and ready to go when you need it. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers and more at flopindustries.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Said, I want to spend a little bit of maybe more than normal, like more than my normal for these podcasts on sort of a life update, you know, fishing update, a career update, because that's going to be a humongous portion of this conversation, maybe even the caption of it. So give me a little bit updated on your current status and what's been going on for the last 6-8 months for you.
Yeah, you bet. Really, the big development is in April, I took a new job. I had worked for the University of Minnesota for over 20 years. I kind of started as a grad student there doing GIS stuff, the online mapping, kind of digital recon stuff. And being a fish nerd and working in the fishing industry on the side for the longest time, you know, I wasn't going to hop to a different job unless it was something I was really passionate about. And yeah, leaving the University of Minnesota was a difficult choice. I really did love that job, but 6 or so months in, since April, I couldn't be happier working for Onyx Maps. So if you know anything about Onyx Maps, you probably know that their hunt product, it's an app, really has revolutionized the way we hunt. And I was hired on to kind of lead the charge on a new effort called Onyx Fish, which when you get down to it, marrying the geospatial GIS mapping aspect of what I do with the fish nerd, fish industry side of things, it has been a dream job so far and no signs of letting up. It's something I'm really excited and passionate about.
The space that you took up in the industry prior to this, so looking at, you know, for how long you've been, you know, doing this, and probably for a lot of people are probably familiar with you, maybe even for different reasons. You've been on TV, you know, you write the articles, the photography, you do the seminar stuff, you've been all over the place, but you've always been a career man outside of the industry. I kind of want to do a little bit more of a deep dive on all those, you know, relatable topics, yeah, if you will. So where does that really start, yep, man? Like how far back do we go and sort of describe your career a little bit more?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. You start thinking about it. I started by being basically a college kid trying to find my way into the St. Paul Ice Show. Literally enjoying everything about ice fishing and open water fishing, but maybe knowing that I had a little bit better niche or opportunity in ice, given the revolution kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s, and everything from augers and equipment and better flashers, and that continues on today. But that was an opportunity, and I started just doing some online forum stuff. I liked writing, always a passion of mine. So I just started, being a casual and then eventually a more rabid participant on different forums like Fishing Minnesota, In Depth Outdoors, Lake States Fishing, all of those from way back in the day. And it's just interesting. I had a number of companies reach out that said, hey, like what you're doing. You're pretty helpful out here. Obviously, you care a lot about fishing. You're really passionate about it. Companies like Markham Technologies, Otter Outdoors, Strikemaster Augers back in the day, I just started working ice shows for them, doing that circuit, which led to open water opportunities, which had me eventually doing more writing and starting to write for Outdoor News as a turkey guy because I love turkey hunting. It's a big time passion of mine as well. And then eventually working with In Depth Outdoors and doing TV and being a pro staff director and kind of running staff for companies like Otter Outdoors, doing social media management for Ice Force, some of the Rapala brands. And so it's been a twisty path, but it really started like most of these snowballs that eventually turn into huge downhill rolling chunks of snow that just grow and grow and grow as I went kind of down the road in the industry. So I've worn a lot of hats. It started out pretty humble and has kind of grown into something that is a full-time passion of mine. And I always joked, that my University of Minnesota job was one iceberg and the fishing industry stuff was another iceberg. And sometimes those icebergs would run close together and I could manage things pretty well. And other times I was doing the splits out there. So this Onyx thing has allowed me to do both and do it in a really cohesive fashion, moving towards not just a singular goal, but accomplishing a lot of the goals I've always had for myself in the industry and beyond.
But I feel like you've got a lot of patience in that regard, you know, from a career standpoint, your decision making. You're a family man, you got all that, and you know, and so that always factors into, you know, career choices and things. But, you know, when you look at the industry as a whole or the individuals in it, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're in a rush to get into the industry. They're in a rush to take that first opportunity that might, you know, become something more. And there's a lot of crashing and burning. There's a lot of, you know, it's a very right uncertain line of work to be in, you know, so, you know, you probably had what a lot of people in the industry or people that have failed to make it on their own, you've probably had a lot more opportunities along the way so far to make some type of a attempt at a full-time run. But you've been patient up until now. I'm so curious about that for you, man. Like what is it about this particular opportunity? It seems obvious, but I'm probably almost even more curious about how were you able to wait this long to find the right opportunity?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think some of it is providence. Some of it is blind luck. Some of it is kind of preparation. And the fact that I've tried to be pretty deliberate and intentional with everything I do in the industry. I really like what I like, and I'm passionate about certain ways of fishing, styles of fishing, species. I kind of found a niche on the panfish side of things where that's always what I've done, and I really love doing it. But at the same time, partnering with companies that really I feel make a difference, move the needle, drive innovation forwards, and have a strong footprint in the industry. And so when it comes to the patient side of things, though, like I have had the opportunity to do a lot of jobs in the fishing industry, even a lot of full-time offers over the years. But I've definitely noticed that the industry shrinks and swells, not on a yearly basis, but quite often. And, you know, with the family, like you mentioned, it's always tough to take a big swing and hope that everything's going to work out. And instead, I sat back and jab. I just took a lot of different small cuts over the years and tried to stay diversified, right? Never getting too over and above on any one area and just always applying my passion without taking these big lethal swings that a lot of times you just fall over on your face with. So, yeah, the Onyx opportunity was too good to pass up. I thought about it long and hard. I was actually somewhat recruited by a buddy of mine that works at Onyx. And the first time he called me, I hung up the phone after that initial conversation. And I had told him, no, this probably isn't going to work. And I think he kind of accepted that. Now, that evening, I was like, whoa, maybe I made a mistake here. And I called him back and started down that path. But it, like anything, it's a longer winding road than anything linear like you're looking at in the past. Now, it maybe seems like it lined up perfectly. But yeah, there were a lot of twists and wrong turns and dead ends along the way, too. I did it wrong for a long time. You know, I didn't know exactly how I was going to do this in those first few years. I made every mistake under the sun and in the book, and, you know, eventually learned how to do the right things by doing them wrong and not achieving success. And, you know, that's why I've been such a strong proponent of, you know, the Linders did that fishing careers workshop back in the late, kind of 2010s. And I'm just really passionate about mentoring other folks in the industry if I can. It's not a cocky thing or I know the right way and you're doing it wrong. It's more along the lines of like, hey, I was helped out by some of the greats and just lucky to run into them, learn what I did. And if I can help somebody else out, why wouldn't I?
And to realize that there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat. You know,
for sure,
you know, and but for you, for how long, like was getting into fishing, like a full-time career in fishing, in the industry, being immersed completely in this and making a career out of it, was that always woven into the fabric of your contributions, your content, your just sort of how you operated? Or were you kind of always just feeling like you were part-time until all of a sudden the opportunity was too good?
No, that's a great question. Like I talked about earlier about being intentional, working full-time in the fishing industry was always the goal. That said, I was confident and patient enough to make sure that I was taking care of everything else that I needed to take care of from a family perspective, from a finance perspective, from just running a business well perspective, that I wasn't going to leap until or unless the opportunity became perfect. And, you know, that's really kind of what this has become. And, you know, I've got goals of someday maybe being in the Fishing Hall of Fame if I'm lucky enough, maybe as a writer or whoever, a media personality, if they'd have me. You know, obviously I'd love to not just to be recognized as much by your peers, but mostly just as one of these things that, you know, you kind of set off on the horizon and say, man, I just kind of want to keep moving towards excellence. I want to keep getting better at what I do. I want to keep learning. And yeah, being in the fishing industry full time, always, always, always a goal. But at the same time, I wasn't going to leap without looking long and hard.
Yeah. I like the way you say that. Just having high standards for yourself, like you say, just moving towards excellence. I think that's awesome. But so your career, you accepted this position at Onyx Fish or at Onyx. Tell me kind of what it is. What is your job title, and what is it? Like what is it? What is it right now? What is you know, what are we building upon? Give me the pitch.
Yeah, you bet. Well, Onyx started with Onyx Hunt, and it's obviously a very successful product. If you're not kind of ingrained with what it is, it started out just as showing as a digital plat map, right? Really public versus private land, knowing where you stand on that map, whether you're legal or not. It's a big deal. And it added to that with lots of different layers that really extended hunting opportunities and taught us how to become better hunters. Now the fish product is really interesting because it's built on that same backbone. It's a highly functioning app that has some of that public-private around waterways, because access is access, whether you're talking hunting or fishing, but adds a lot more to it. And, you know, this kind of started as part of research that Onyx had done long before they hired me. I mean, they knew, you know, they've got millions of users, and they've known for a long time that fishing is even more popular than hunting, and that a large component of their hunters are anglers too. And so they've been asked for years, when are you going to make a fishing app? And really this is that ideation coming to fruition, and hiring me kind of came along with their decision to start in Minnesota. Minnesota has a lot going for it. It's one of the top five states of license sales for fishing. Obviously with all the lakes that we have, plus so many industry manufacturers call Minnesota home, that it was really a logical place to start Onyx Fish. And so my Minnesota background and the connections I had in the industry were attractive to Onyx, and my knowledge about mapping, about fishing and the species, yeah, they really were looking for a subject matter expert, a guru, but also somebody that had marketing chops. And that's really what I've been doing in the industry for a long time. So my title is Vertical Marketing Manager. Right now we're in Minnesota. We're adding other states very rapidly coming up in the next weeks, not months, but weeks. And, you know, being the Midwest is my home, and fishing all over the Midwest and knowing those anglers and the use cases and the species we fish for, how we go at it, it was really important for Onyx to be as authentic and genuine as possible in trying to find somebody like myself to help represent the product in its on its home turf, right? So this is just the start. There's a lot more to come. But in a nutshell, the app is going to help with two things: planning, helping us find new places to fish, helping us understand more about the species that live there, their sizes, trophy potential, if there's eater class fish in there, if there are certain species in the nearby area you'd like to fish. And then on top of the planning perspective, we really aim to help anglers on the water. Everything from waypoint management, recent aerial imagery, showing them how to navigate to and from certain areas, especially getting from ramp to ramp, lake to lake. We aim to solve for those problems that anglers have with simple orientation, navigation, and all the fishing information that comes along with it.
I mean, it's got a lot of broad appeal. Like, there's probably very few, well, any angler out there that has access to a smartphone is going to find value in this, I believe, clearly. And I definitely want to get into that a little bit. But yeah, so like you say, the current status as we're talking right now, but this is a fast moving component, is that you're in Minnesota, but you're weeks away from launching other states, as you say?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
And then what's the long-term goal in that? Like all 50 states in Canada? How far out are you looking?
Yes, absolutely. North America, specifically the 50 states in the United States, and then also moving on to Canada. We're not sure about order, how we're going to attack it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's goals for this being a national product someday, just like Onyx Hunt is. And really, you know, it makes a lot of sense, because once we start tackling new states and new regions, it's almost like that snowball effect, like I was talking about earlier, right? We're trying to solve different issues anglers have that for a lot of them, they use lots of different apps to solve. And if we can be a singular resource that gives the best information, the most information, we're hoping it's an app that's irreplaceable, because as anglers, we just do things different than we used to, right? I mean, I used to line up the red shed with the green awning, and, you know, we all did, but those things have changed. And, you know, as anglers, we really... The ones that I know and admire the most, the ones that I feel are the most successful, adopt new technologies. They don't get lost in it, right? They don't overly invest in it and only focus on just it, but they utilize it like the tool it is. And I come at it from an angler perspective, right? Like Onyx Fish to me has to serve me as an angler first. And if it doesn't, I'm not that interested in what we're doing. So if this is just for sales, if this is just for love or likes or popularity or trying to be the biggest or most grandiose, I just don't have much interest in that, which is why I'm so excited about the product, because it really is consumer focused. They're trying to make this better for folks just like you and I and our listeners, right?
Preparing for the upcoming ice fishing season means making great gear choices that will help you maximize your time on the water. That's where Summit Fishing Equipment comes in, the trusted choice for anglers who demand reliable, affordable, and top-quality forward-facing sonar gear and accessories for all the major brands, including Garmin LiveScope, Lowrance Active Target, and Hummingbird Mega Live. Check out their bestseller, the Summit HD CNC Shuttle. It's designed to protect your expensive electronics from harsh winter conditions while keeping everything portable for easy transport. You could pair that up with the lightweight yet robust carbon fiber ice transducer pole and the versatile Summit bag to complete the setup. Crafted from advanced carbon fiber, this forward sonar pole is not only incredibly strong, but also the lightest on the market. Their offerings don't stop at just poles and shuttles. Summit Fishing Equipment offers a full range of bags, mounts, and accessories to customize your fishing rig to your exact specifications. So whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, Summit has what you need to improve your experience on the ice. Explore Summit's collection at summitfishingequipment.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Summit Fishing Equipment is also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers from Flop Industries. The Flopbox 10 and Flopbox 20 are heavy-duty, roto-molded bait coolers, fully insulated, which comes into play both summer and winter. The aeration system for minnows and other live bait is fully enclosed and lithium-powered for reliability and durability. The stainless hardware, the removable chill plate, the list goes on of features, but these high-end bait coolers can easily enhance your fishing experience when you consider their ability to keep your bait alive, fresh, and ready to go when you need it. Check out the Flopbox bait coolers and more at flopindustries.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Check out Shipswell Resort on Lake of the Woods in northern Minnesota for your next ice fishing destination. Their lodging options are fantastic for small groups, all the way on up to bigger groups like family get-togethers or maybe a corporate outing. Enjoy the comforts of one of their heated day-use fish houses spread between the Morris Point area and the Long Point area as well to give their guests the most options and opportunities to cover the big lake and to stay on fish. Head to their website, shipswellresort.com, to check out their photo gallery and all their ice fishing packages. That link is in the description of this podcast. Oh, yeah. And now where does all this information come from? Can we even talk about that? I mean, these components, all the tools. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, there's, you know, it's got the contour lines. It's got the lake map type features. But it's got all the, you know, like the DNR type of information, you know, it's got all the biology stuff in there. It's really just, it's a gateway drug for itself. Once you kind of get consumed, like, cause I've been messing with it already. I got all kinds of, I've got all kinds of ideas of how I'm going to utilize this, but like I say, it's, I don't even want to necessarily get into that so much just yet, because I feel like for every individual person are going to like it for a different, you know, the priorities of why they like it are going to be in a different order. Everybody's going to like it maybe for their own home lake. You don't have to want to fish a ton of different lakes to really enjoy some great features on this thing. You can be the type of person that wants to be more adventurous and get more confidence picking out new lakes and really like it a whole bunch. But yet, like I said, I think it'll be different for everybody. But where does all this information come from?
Well, the information is not crowdsourced, right? So it's not somebody that you may or may not trust, right, that is maybe posting accurately about what they're catching or where they're not catching it. This is DNR data. It comes from robust fishery surveys. And the cool part is we've been able to add multiple years. So as anglers for any lake you're looking at, let's just say walleyes on Mille Lacs, for example, I'm able to look at the surveys going back for years and watch your classes move through the system. I can do it for perch. I can do it for walleyes. I can do it for any species that exists because all this DNR data is so robust. Now, what Onyx does so well that I've come to appreciate is they take these data that are publicly available or findable, usable in some respects, and organize them and make them searchable in a way not previously possible. Let me give you an example. So one of the things that we do in Onyx Fish is, let's say we're interested in crappies. Well, with the old DNR Lake Finder, you could always click on lake by lake, click on the lake, and look at the crappie survey.
But you'd have to know what lake you wanted to click on.
Exactly.
You would have to already know you wanted to look at a specific lake.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of hunt and peck. It was a lot of search and destroy. The thing we're able to do now is we're able to isolate lakes based on trophy potential. Say I'm only interested in big crappies. That's all I want to find. In any given area, I can select for trophy potential, select the species I want, and it shows lakes in which trophy crappies were sampled only. You can do it for multiple species. You can do it for different size classes, like maybe you're interested in just eating panfish. You can look for sunfish and crappies and use the keeper potential tab to help you find lakes that have a fairly decent population of conservation or selective harvest style fish. Maybe that's a 7 to 9 inch bluegill or a 9 to 11 inch crappie. And really, no matter what your goals are as an angler, this is a tool that's going to help you search and find in ways not possible. Now, in Minnesota, we've had something similar to us, nowhere near as good. But you start going to other states like Wisconsin, for example, a lot of these data either were unfindable or they existed in like a big PDF paragraph type format. Once we go to Wisconsin, which is going to be coming up here in a couple weeks, right in time for ice season, you're going to be able to find data that you never knew existed. You're going to be able to leverage information that not only was barely findable previously, it was buried and in a way that you couldn't even format or understand it very well. Now it's going to be at your fingertips on an app. And for people in those states, I mean, once you get outside of Minnesota, Onyx Fish's usefulness is going to be tenfold as good, and it's just going to keep getting better.
Pretty much every time I'm anticipating a day of fishing, like, you know, for me personally, I'm obsessed right now with, you know, the next cool thing. You know, I go fishing somewhere, maybe I find some success or whatever it is, but like usually I'm already, you know, I'm going to the next thing, or I want to find the next lake. Something like this is, I'm literally going to be wildly addicted to it, because like this is everything that somebody like me has just been wanting. Like, I love the adventure of being on a new body of water for the first time, testing my metal, breaking it down, you know, and finding fish and, you know, just the essence of so many of these podcasts and conversations. It's like, how do we break down water? How do we do this? But selecting those opportunities, finding those opportunities, those lakes, those rivers, those reservoirs, you know, that are in our area or somewhere that I want to travel to that we don't already know about. But man, the big key component, what you said there, is just about every setup, whether it's the State Department or any other app or anything else that's going on out there, to research for a new lake or, you know, somewhere new to go fishing, it's like a 6-step program per lake.
Right.
And in my head, I'm trying to find a lake. I'm trying to be adventurous and find a lake that I didn't know about before. You got to have, you got to be really, really good at all the free stuff, all the Google Earth and all the State Department websites. And like you said, the big PDFs, you got to print them out in paper so that you can hold it up and put it alongside the, you know, this spot over here and all these things. And then you got subscriptions in 3 different places, you know, to help you with this X, Y, and Z as far as the research, all the e-scouting, and now we're talking about, you know, potentially having a one-stop shop type of place that is going to show you those opportunities.
I think, you know, one of the things that was impressed upon me when I started it on X from the hunt side was like, we aim to provide 10 years of information in 10 minutes. Really, yeah. That's the goal, where you can be somewhat of a local expert just rolling up on a spot because you've got that digital recon component. And, you know, I was lucky. That part was always easy for me because I did GIS stuff. I was looking at aerial photography, recent imagery that was flown every year, looking for rock piles that maybe didn't exist on other maps in clear water on certain lakes. Well, now we've got imagery in the app that's flown every 2 weeks. So literally we're going to be able to see ice up. It goes back a year as well. So you can see ice out. You can see formation of ice roads. You can see where a lot of people have their shelters in concentration. So all of these data, you know, really lead us into a direction that's very positive. And the cool thing, I mean, the cat is kind of out of the bag right now, and it's working. People like Will Papenfuss, Brett McComas of Target Walleye, Nick Linder, these guys are kind of reporting back to me that this summer they found more walleye lakes with big fish nearby inside of 30 minutes that they knew had fish in it. They knew maybe they had potential for big fish, but literally with the app, they're able to isolate certain lakes, find them, and Will won this massive weekend kind of fish donkey style tournament where he weighed fish, all of them over 30 inches, and found that lake in the app. And just knowing that power and that potential is out there,
yep,
I think is going to be really astounding to people. These are pros. They're great at what they do, but this really brings it into the realm of every person, not just pros.
what do you sort of say, or how do you sort of feel so far when you look at the potential of a product like this? And people might say, well, it's going to just shed light on too many opportunities, and we're going to put pressure on fish that don't need it. Like where does that fit into this conversation so far?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have thought about it long and hard because, yeah, I'm a conservation-minded angler, and I have lamented the loss of some of the quality of our fisheries over the last 30, 40 years that I've been fishing, especially pan fishing in certain places, trophy fish being harder to find. And hot spotting is always an issue. And in the hunt side, again, they've navigated these waters for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that isn't new to that side of the world, or fishing, for example, right? There's just been a lot of technology that's applied pressure, this being another one. However, I feel very strongly in several tenets regarding keeping of fish. I believe that, you know, if you can keep fresh fish and not stockpile them in the freezer, it's probably better for the resource, because you're going to have a plan for those fish. You're going to cook them. You're going to share them. You're going to eat them. But when you start stockpiling them, a lot of people just forget even what they have, and they just keep adding to it, killing more fish than they probably are ever going to consume. I believe very strongly against high grading, catching and keeping only the biggest members of a population because there's more meat on them. But another tenet that I really strongly believe in is that if we can spread out the pressure that we have onto multiple lakes, rather than focusing on honey milk runs of specific ones only, I think we're going to be better off. For example, if I'm going to keep 100 bluegills and crappies total this spring, or this winter, let's say, I know that keeping 20 or 10 of each from five different lakes is going to affect populations far less than if I went to my favorite lake where the bite's really good and we're slamming only big fish, and I keep 50 of each species. If everybody just hit their local lakes and pounded them into oblivion, it's much harder on the fishery than spreading out some of that pressure onto multiple bodies of water, which have been shown to be able to handle it, right? It's one of those things where if you just keep going back to the same well, eventually it may be dry, versus drawing water from several wells. So I think the Onyx effect could improve some of the ways in which we think about fishing and catching fish from different places, rather than focusing our efforts only on a singular one.
I think you're spot on with that. I think so. I mean, you know, there's always going to be a little exploitation here or there, probably. For sure. But I think you're spot on with that. And I think the angler responsibility, I think the modern day angler right now just enjoys the experience of finding fish. And, yeah. You know, that's what I find anyways. I mean, that's the people that I talk to on the street. That's the people that listen to this podcast, people that like to find fish. You know, if we're not all just getting our fishing reports from one blog to where, you know, an article comes out somewhere or a picture is taken with a house in the background, and then the next day, you know, everybody's out there. If we're going to go out and find these opportunities that this piece of technology is going to help us with, we're going to more often be fishing on our own. We're going to more often be fishing, either it's in an area of the lake, you know, that's away from everybody, or it's new lakes. Like in my case, I'm so excited to find new lakes, and I'm going to go there, and hopefully there's going to be less people. It's going to spread people out. And spread. Yep. And that's gonna bode well for the consistency. When we start to find these lakes and we are kind of by ourselves, or there's just less of those community type stuff, that, and I mean that, like, we all know what we're talking about, like some of the community stuff where it's just, you know, where you're just trading paint with other boats, or, you know, the ice season where it's like, you know, just the massive, you know, villages, or just those weekends where you get a fishing report and you just, man, it's just so exhausting to pull up and just see a sea of fish houses. But if everybody is trying to be their own fishing report and they're looking for these new opportunities, you're going to go somewhere and it's not going to be always overrun. As we know, when we talk fishing, you know, being somewhere where the fish are less pressured, you don't need as many fish to do well. We're going to have better, more consistent fishing in a lot more places. And it's often going to happen for the people that are out there looking for, you know, these hidden gems. As long as we go that route, I agree with you 100%. I think when we spread things out, it's great for everybody for sure. And well, the fish love it.
And we already know that fish and generally speaking, larger fish exist in places that are uncomfortable or difficult for us to get to. So Onyx isn't going to change anything by shining a light on some of those fisheries.
Good point.
If it's hard to get a boat into it, if it's a weird public access that you got to hike through the woods to fish, it's not going to change people's willingness or effort level to get there. It's just going to show them a little more efficiently and easily that those are there, but we've always known those are there.
Yeah. You know, and another thing too, I think that education part of it, I think this, for a lot of people that maybe they fish a particular home body of water.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're like, you know, you're an old grandpa that doesn't like change. That can be anybody. We're all born and raised differently. Is growing up on the shore of a capital fishery, and that's just, it just makes the most sense for them to just fish, you know, a particular home body of water. And that's awesome. Yeah. I think there's still so much value in something like this, and some of it might just be entertainment value. Like it's just fun to have a resource that kind of gives you some of that stuff, but the education of like, you know, there might be some eye openers here. I know for me, getting into this app, I'm looking at some of the lakes that I feel like I've fished quite a bit, and maybe I know, or I have some feelings about it in one way or the other, as far as the quality of fish that are out there, what's going on. And I look at some of this stuff and I see some of the data that might be a little bit validating, but in other cases, it might be eye-opening that here's a lake that I've fished my whole life, and I didn't realize that the DNR for the last 15 years has been capturing a better average size of crappies than I've been catching.
Yes.
So now I'm so excited to get out there, and I realize I got work to do.
Yeah.
I got that fun work to do. I got that fun, exciting work to do that I got to go out there and up my game. Because, you know, these college interns with gill nets are doing better than me. You know, and so I got to get out there and I got to try and find that better average fish. And that's a fishy conversation that I get to have now in my own home with my family or whoever I fish with. It's like, man, they're, you know, like, did you know about this? Like, you know, it's just now my thought process is now it's taking me across the lake. And I'm thinking about this, my home body of water, in a light that I haven't thought about before. And that's exciting. It's what's old is new. Now, all of the sudden, and I got to start looking at different areas of the lake, or maybe I got to look at my fishing style. Now I'm back on YouTube watching new videos. Now I'm digging into, you know, this to that and the other thing, and I'm learning, and then naturally, as you read that information, it's biological. You're experiencing the science of this particular body of water. You're sort of ingesting that. And again, when you see the trends maybe going down, maybe going the other way, maybe you see that, you've been striving to upgrade your fish and you've been trying to keep the biggest fish you can because they've got the most ounces of meat on them. But then this is maybe your first real exposure to the last 10 years of data that shows, that maybe the quality size is declining, and that might be a helpful in your decision making to say, hey, maybe I gotta let a few back. Maybe there's some reward in that, or maybe I gotta focus on I've been kind of a crappie guy, or maybe I've been kind of a walleye guy, but I had no idea that this lake would be deemed a trophy bluegill lake. Maybe I gotta start paying attention to them. I just feel like there's so many super fun fishing conversations that could come from any little piece of this app, you know, and, and it's going to be different light bulbs going off for everybody. You know, maybe I'm just ranting here, but it's just for me, it's like every lake that I look into is actually interesting. I haven't looked at a lake and crossed it off the list with this. In fact, if anything, I look at this and you can immediately see what is cool about a lake, you know, a fish that's thriving. You know, you look at the big fish, it's like sometimes I might just pick a lake because the lake map looks so gnarly and cool. There's so much structure that looks like it's an absolute ball to fish. And I might be a walleye guy, but I realize that this is a trophy smallmouth lake. Well, guess what? I'm going to go out there and have a ball on a lake that looks super fun. And I might just have fun wheeling on trophy class smallmouth because it just looks like an absolute blast of an adventure, you know?
Well, and to your point, as anglers, especially in the Midwest, like we're versatile. We love multi-species angling and, you know, let's say you're up on Mille Lacs or you're over in Otter Tail County and plan A doesn't work. And then plan B doesn't work either. And you just decide, well, maybe walleyes aren't cooperating or maybe it's too windy or maybe you know, there's threatening thunderstorms. I don't want to be out on a big lake. I want to find a smaller lake. Having the option to hunt those down in real time without having to go back to the old plat books or the old lake finder and hunting and pecking, it's just going to give us so many more options to fish in ways that are more exciting to us. So like, I've always been a data nerd. I've always been a map guy and a fish nerd, but being able to just kind of at your fingertips do this stuff, it's a real luxury. And I'm just excited because this is beta version still. Like that's the key point that I need to bring up to everybody. Like this is getting better as we speak. This isn't the end. It's really an evolving beginning and it's free for right now. There's nothing I can sell you. it's free to all and openly available for a limited time. Of course, there's plans to charge. There's a lot of work and effort that has gone into making this what it is. And someday we will go down that road. But for right now, we're interested in getting as many people into the app as possible using it and finding new ways in which we can help benefit anglers, because ultimately we won't be successful unless we do that.
So right now it's Minnesota, soon to be Wisconsin, and you're just going to keep kicking down those doors, kicking down those states. But this, you know, when Onyx was the leader, they were the first to market with a quality product like this in the hunting industry. And you know, so I guess it's only fitting that, you know, they're making this product available for anglers here in the Midwest to enjoy. Very exciting stuff, man. Very exciting stuff. What else? What other key component to this conversation do we got to fit in right now? I think we're going to be doing a lot of these over the years as the new features come up, as the new stories come in, and we're going to be getting updates for sure. But for right now, the current status of your job, the current status of the situation, it's free. We mentioned that for now. So get on it, especially, you know, if you're from Minnesota, but even if you're from anywhere in the Midwest anticipating this product getting to your state, get on it right now. I would recommend, I mean, I'm a North Dakotan, but I am, and I fish in Minnesota some, but I am enjoying just using it because, again, I just giggle at just enjoying learning it. And when it gets to North Dakota, when it gets to wherever I'm going to be going fishing, like, I'm going to know how to use it. That's my goal.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think that's smart. Yeah. Jumping in and kind of lowering that learning curve. It's really intuitive, but you don't know what's in it till you really start poking around. So I think that's super smart on your part. But as far as anything additional on my end, I'm going to still be doing a lot of the same things that I've always enjoyed doing in the fishing industry, the writing, some of the TV media stuff. A lot of it will be focused on Onyx Fish, but a lot of it will be current sponsors and things that I've always supported and worked with. You'll see me at the St. Paul Ice Show like I've always been at, and all kinds of other shows throughout, you know, the rest of the season. Open water and ice. So accepting the Onyx job wasn't something that really ended my ability or my interest in promoting or my passion working in the fishing industry for a broad variety of companies, really, it actually extended the opportunity to do more of it in some respects. So that's kind of what you can expect from me moving forward. And from the app, like you said, it's free for right now for a limited time. It's only in Minnesota, but we're literally expanding in short order. We've got some super cool things coming up. Apple CarPlay. I won't talk too much about that yet, but there's going to be so many applications and ways that we're going to be able to help anglers. And I think being an angler and being somebody that just is so passionate about it myself, it's a ton of fun. It's a kid in the candy store effect for right now. And I'll let you know if the honeymoon phase ends, but it hasn't yet. So life is pretty good over here. And thank you for being willing to chat about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We got to do it, man. Gosh, we had to. I was like, man, when's the last time I had Joel on? A lot of times I have you on and then a month later, I want to have you back, but it's like, gosh, we got to spread it out a little bit. We got to give Joel a little bit of time to fish or do something before I have him back on. But this one I think was perfect. I gave you plenty of time to make some major shifts and do a lot of cool things. So we were able to talk about them, or at least just scratch the surface, but I'm glad, for me personally, and I asked you before this that you'd be cool with it, to talk about yourself personally, because I think that's a big part of this story. I think it is, just you've always strived for excellence. You don't put out an article unless you stand by it. You don't say something or do something in the industry without that, your integrity is on the front of your mind. It's no surprise when somebody comes to you and says, man, that was the real deal. Well, of course it was. Joel's name was on it. And that's how I feel. That's how we've always felt, about you. And then you're also a really nice guy. So I guess that's cool. But I think your story, and just how you've been patient with the industry, you've took those jabs. I like being able to sort of highlight that for you that, kudos to Onyx. They finally roped you. They finally got you. They they were the ones that gave you that opportunity you couldn't refuse. And man, I think it's really cool. This is going to be a big one. This is going to be a real big one for a lot of anglers. And, we're talking about it. I'm thinking ice season because that's what's next. I think it's going to be an immediate payoff for anybody that's utilizing it this ice season. But there's open water applications that we're just going to have to, do another podcast in the spring. Cause I've already got the notes written down. I'm juiced. I want to talk open water so bad, but I don't want to burn that powder. I know that we got to get through this ice season and enjoy the heck out of it. And oh, yeah. I've already got the notes and the questions and the points to, for the open water stuff too. It's talking about that satellite imagery and oh my gosh. Yeah. So right on, man. Well, if anybody has questions or comments or anything like that, we'll sign it off, man. Where can they find you?
You can go to my website, joelnelsonoutdoors.com, for any of the stuff you've always known and seen about me in the industry. Specifically for Onyx Fish, there is a web version too. It's currently available on iPhone, but if you have an Android phone, you want to use the web version, it's onyxfish.com. I'm sorry, it's onyxmaps.com/fish. That's onyxmaps.com/fish. So that's where I'm at. That's where the app is at. Check them both out.
There it is, man.